You know what time it is. It's time for Rating the Nerd.
Minisode.
With your hosts, Tim and Zach. Take it away, boys.
And we're back with another minisode. Talking about another mobile game this time. This time one I play and probably waste far too much time on. So today we're going to be talking about Marvel Strike Force.
Oh, that's the one where you're the blue collar worker in the picket line, right?
That's right. Yes. Yeah. Equal pay for equal powers. That's awesome. So this is one of those games. There's a few of them out there where you're essentially building like five person squads to take on five person squads, or sometimes more if you're fighting like in a raid or something. But you're building them out of Marvel characters, which really is right up my alley. So I think there's like there's a Star Wars one called Galaxy of Heroes. You know, there's a Star Trek one, I think, that, like most Star Trek things, has gone into the void with very few people caring.
There used to be a Ghostbusters one until they shit-canned it.
Oh, really? I would have played the shit out of that, too.
I know. You would catch ghosts, and then you would build an army of them, like five or six of them, for a team, and then you'd take them into the underworld and fight all these, like, classic Ghostbuster monsters and ghosts from the animated series.
Really? That's cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
Did you get to play as Ghostbusters also?
You played as a Ghostbuster who was part of the like regular team, but you were like a generic character.
Oh, okay.
But they let you like pick out like your costume and stuff, so like you could wear like the old school costumes from the cartoons, or the ones from the original movies, or the ones from the most recent movie, or different proton packs and stuff like that, Tim.
Oh, okay. Because I was just imagining, like, you could be, like, either a five-person team would be tough to field, but I was like, you could be, like, the original four, you know? Mm-hmm. And you'd have, I would imagine they'd have abilities, because every character has abilities, different abilities, you know? So, like, right. Be, like, dry wit to like, you know, like, maybe stun another character or something, or, like, you know, or... Or you could play, it'd be the hashtag not my Ghostbusters team. You know,
and
like your ultimate would be running in and farting on command. And it would be so hilarious.
It would. It would.
Or if you were Holtzman, you could make queef jokes.
Oh.
Right? That's family friendly.
Did she do that in that movie?
She absolutely did.
Oh, I forgot all about it.
She made a queef joke in a Ghostbusters movie. When it happened, I wanted to just stand up in front of the whole audience at the theater we were at and just go, turns out the ghost was inside you the whole time. Oh, man. But yeah, Marvel Strike Force is fun. There's a bunch of different, modes that you fight in, you know, like there's alliances you can join. And so like, I've joined an alliance who we're not like bleeding edge content. Cause you can spend a ton of money on this game if you want to, and just sort of to be the best, you know, it's like if they just, sold Pokemon to Ash whenever he wanted, you know, you could be the very best if you just have enough coin in your purse, you know, so, because they do offers that are like 99 cents for like a random orb, one single orb. But then they also do offers that's like, hey, a brand new character is coming out. And if you want to unlock them immediately, you can do that for $50. And I'm like, $50 for a mobile game? Like, like I have heartburn when I pay $50 for like a AAA title, you know, which they're 60 now, I know, for console. Mm-hmm. But like I have heartache with that. So, but yeah,
man, I can't do that.
Right.
They try to microtransaction everything in the Pokemon game, and they even have it down to like, if you want your character to stand in a specific pose, it's like $10.
Oh my god, why? I don't get it. I don't get it at all. Like, man. Yeah, man. So I like I said, I do have an alliance in Marvel Strike Force. New World Savages. So if any of them ever hear this, then hey, you're on a not famous podcast. But
we're working on it.
Yeah, we're getting there. We're getting there.
We're getting there.
Allegedly, don't try to sue me, Zach. So our alliance, like, we have a Discord and we chat about stuff, you know, and we try to coordinate attacks during during wars and stuff, but we're not like super hardcore where it's like one of the I watch YouTubers, so I geek out about this game enough that I watch YouTubers that talk about certain strategy and upcoming content and stuff like that. And mostly because I just find them funny, and my wife finds them very grating. And like one of the YouTubers, most of them, because they do it for YouTube, you know, they're spending the money to be kind of bleeding edge content constantly. And one of them, like, even he talks all the time about how in their war fights against other alliances, like, you get so much energy and you earn energy every so often, but you can also buy extra energy, right? Mm-hmm. Well, as an alliance, you don't have enough energy to clear the other team's helicarrier out until, because that's how it is. It's like helicarrier rooms. You don't have enough energy until you earn enough at a certain point. Like, even if you buy, you're only allowed to buy so much, right? And mm-hmm. So anyway, long story short, this guy on his podcast talks all the time about how he sets an alarm to wake up at 3 a.m. so that they can hit their last attacks to try to wipe out the other alliance before they wipe them out.
That's insane to me.
Me too. I'm like, nope. I'd be like, it's a little too hardcore for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done that before with, like, I don't know. I guess I've done that before with other games, you know, like
at 3 a.m. though.
I specifically have done it with, I think, maybe World of Warcraft for like a raid. Mm-hmm. But I don't. And it was only because, but I don't think it was like 3 a.m. It was definitely, I set an alarm to get up in the middle of the night, you know, which is dumb. But I did it at that point. But it was a little easier with World of Warcraft because you could coordinate, and raids were whenever you wanted to run them. They weren't at a specific time. I know, right. I know people that played like EverQuest, and they're like, yeah, in EverQuest, like, you, if you were part of a guild, like, you were to have your phone on not silent when you went to bed, because when a raid popped, because they would pop randomly, when a boss popped, somebody was constantly watching the server, and they would call everybody, and you were expected to get up no matter what time it was and be on the computer within 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that sounds awful. That sounds like you're a fireman without any of the prestige of being a fireman.
Yeah, it was a little bit different back then. You know, you weren't guaranteed. If you stepped into a zone for like a god or a plane or something like that, it was the same zone for everyone. Whereas in EverQuest, or World of Warcraft rather, it was a separate instance for each team. You know, each team that went in.
Right. So you're not racing everybody on the server to try to do this. It's
right. Right.
It's, so hey, you, we want to
effectively walk in, and then the god or the monster or whatever it was you were trying to fight was already dead.
Gotcha.
And then you would have to like camp the spawn. Which is right. Where that comes from.
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah. So it was. Yeah. It was. World of Warcraft was much more, and I think the only reason I ever set the alarm to get up, I think it was wasn't even like an instance like that or an alliance thing. I think it was like new content was dropping at like 2 a.m. or something, you know, and I was like, oh man, I want to see that as soon as it drops. And so I got up for that. But yeah, like, I don't know. I can't imagine.
I want those pauldrons that are 10 times the size of the last pauldrons I had.
Oh, that was the best. I don't want to be able to turn my head. I want to be the Batman in this world. I don't know. I'm not that dedicated to almost anything. Like, I mean, when my kids come in the middle of the night and are like, I'm vomiting, I'm like, get a bowl. Leave me alone. Is it on the floor?
You know where the bathroom is.
Right. I'm like, is it on the floor right now? No? Then great. I'll see you at 8. So I don't know, man. But yeah, the thing that really kind of scratches the itch for me with Marvel Strike Force, like I said, I spend too much time on it. Like, I probably spend hours a day, at least, I would say.
How much time?
Like, hours a day, I would say. Like, because there are, like, certain times that you get free energy for campaign nodes and things like that. Sure. There, you know, it's like, because of daylight savings time, that sucks because It takes me a good 2 months to remember that it's at 11 a.m. instead of noon now in the Eastern time zone. But I like just seeing all the different Marvel characters, and they actually do their abilities fairly well, which is pretty cool. You know, they've named the abilities like they have very punny names, which, as a dad who likes dad jokes, I appreciate. But they, yeah, their abilities are actually usually pretty accurate. So like there's even little things I like as a comics fan, like, they brought, because everybody has tags, every character has tags. So it's like, you know, they're a villain or a hero, or they're, and then they're like city or global or cosmic. And, you know, they have an origin, like, is it bio or is it technology or, you know, and so that determines. And so like things like when they first introduced like Namor, the Submariner, you know, I was like,
my favorite.
Yeah. Right. Like, but he's always
he's like Leonard Nimoy in a Speedo.
Yes. Yeah, with little tiny wings on his ankles. But he's always kind of a benchmark for me anytime I play any game or anything, because he's a mutant. He's like, he's Atlantean, but he's a mutant Atlantean. And so, okay. Most people don't
call.
Go ahead. What?
I was going to say, don't they call them metahumans in the DC universe?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the difference, because in Marvel, like, you can be a mutant who is born with your meta abilities, or you can get them from, like, you know, like, the cosmic radiation that caused the Fantastic Four to have theirs.
Right.
So, like, in this game, they're bio, right? Because they have biology abilities, but they weren't born with them, right? But that's always my benchmark is I always check out Submariner, because not a lot of people, if you don't do your research, you don't realize he's a mutant. And so, yeah, he came in with the mutant tag, and I'm like, okay, so these are people who at least understand the comics, you know, like, it's a weird benchmark because I don't really like him that much either, but it's the easiest one to find usually. But yeah, man, it's cool. So they have a lot of cool characters, you know, like they've got the Avengers, and they've got the X-Men, who I'm really into. They've got the Inhumans, who, aside from that atrocious television show, are pretty cool. You know, they just recently brought in the Black Order from the Infinity War and Endgame movies, like Thanos' generals or whatever you want to call them, you know. And they actually did a pretty cool thing there too. Like when they brought them in, like Thanos has been in the game for a long time with a set of abilities. Well, when they brought the Black Order in, one of their passive ability, each of them has a passive ability where they grant certain infinity stones to Thanos, right? Like it's part of their passive abilities. And so, on Thanos's first turn, he gets these infinity stones from them. Well, if you have a full team with all four members of the Black Order from the movies and Thanos, on his first turn, he gets all the Infinity Stones, and he becomes what they call empowered, and he gets a whole different set of abilities, which I think is kind of cool as well. You know, I mean, it's just a different way. It's another way to kind of change the game up a little bit, because he's been in the game for a long time, you know, and they just changed him up that way. You know, they've got like a lot of the like Spider-Man villains, including, and they make some weird choices from time to time. So they just recently added a Spider-Man villain. I say recently, within the past few months. But his name is Swarm, and he's a guy that's just made out of bees.
Right.
And I don't get it. Like, they don't have all the, like, if you have every Spider-Man villain in the game, and you're like, okay, we'd kind of like to add another Spider-Man villain. Who else is there? Well, there's the bee guy, then maybe, you know. But they don't. They don't have everybody. Like, you know, Sandman's not in there. Morbius isn't in there. I mean, hell, like, they don't have the Spider-Man in where Doc Ock took over his body for a little bit. He, like, transferred his consciousness into Spider-Man. You know, the Sensational Spider-Man or the Spectacular Spider. I can't remember what it was. It was a comic run where it was basically Doc Ock's brain inside Spider-Man's body. Superior. That's what it was. Sorry. So the Superior Spider-Man. And he had to be sort of Doc Ocky, you know, he had a harness thing that gave him four extra mechanical arms, you know, and stuff. But, But they got the bee guy in there. He just turns into, he's just a bunch of bees in a human shape with a purple cloak.
tell me that when he talks with weird buzzing in his tone.
So that's the thing, that all the talking is just text on the screen. Nobody actually verbalizes. But like when you fight, you can have sound on, and I think it buzzes. I leave my sound off because most of the time I'm like playing. Well, not now because we're all, the world's gone to hell. But typically, I'm playing like at lunch at work, or like you know, like in the lunchroom at work, or like on the, you know, like walking around the on my way to work or something, or laying in bed next to my wife, and so I have my sound off so that they're, I don't get killed with sticks, you know, because I figure they'd be like, turn that goddamn noise off. But yeah, so so there are sounds when you can turn the sounds on when you fight, but when people talk, it's just like they show up on the screen and it's just like text.
Gotcha.
Between, yeah, which I actually enjoy the talking. There's like, so when you do a lot of the campaign modes, when they're releasing new characters, there's like a little story that goes between the different, like there'll be like, I don't know, 16 fights, and there's little stories between them, and like the most recent one, they did Stature, which is Ant-Man's daughter as a young adult becoming a hero, and so the newest one is like her and Ant-Man end up in the quantum realm. They go to the quantum realm for something, and then they're like, the quantum realm is a totally different dimension in this game. It's been taken over by Baron Zemo, and so they're like, we got to help these people. She is, and he's like, you got to get home, which I love. They throw little nods to the movie in, because he's like, you got to get home, Peanut, mom's gonna kill me, which is what obviously Ant-Man, you know, Paul Rudd calls Cassie in the movies. But there's little stories between where they like, hey, we got to this place, and then somebody will be like, you didn't expect me, and then, you know, and I like that because it's kind of comic-y a little bit. But I know a lot of people that play are just like, ugh, get me past this. Just let me fight the fight and be done with it. I actually enjoy those little interactions, you know. Yeah, I don't know. And it's cool. Like, before the world went to hell, they would, like, a lot of times try to line up new character releases for, like, with movies and stuff. So, you know, like Red Guardian, the David Harbour character from the upcoming Black Widow movie, like, that character's files have been, because people will data mine the files, you know, to see what's coming up. Like, that character's files have been in the game for a long time, but he's not a playable character yet because they were trying to wait and do it when Black Widow released. But I think at this point they might be like, let's just go ahead and put him in at some point, because that movie may never come out, you know, at this point. Like, you know, at New Year's Eve when the final boss is revealed for 2020 and it's an alien invasion that just destroys our planet, you know, let's make sure we got Red Guardian in the game first.
There you go.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I enjoy it. I think it's a ton of fun. There are certain modes that just get old, you know, because there are people who pay to win, essentially.
Right.
The nice thing I do like about it, I've played games that are pay to win before. This one, I feel like I can at least still have fun and be somewhat competitive, even if I'm not paying to win. And part of that is they break, like, so I mentioned, like, war, where you're fighting another alliance. Like, we don't fight the top five alliances in the game, not even close, because they're all just so much, you know, they look at your alliance's total collection power. So as a group of 24 people, when you add up all the power of your characters, what's that number? And they put you with somewhat like people, you know. I've heard it's worse the higher up you get, because it can be such a discrepancy, you know, because if one alliance just has a bunch of, you know, I don't know, businessmen and doctors and Illuminati who are tired of sitting on their throne of boys and want to just start pumping their money into something else, their collection power might be 100 million, you know, or what, 100 billion, whatever it is. I don't know what the number really is. But then, like, number two, like, then when you get down to, like, the number four, five, six guilds, alliances, they might be like, well, yeah, we pay for stuff, but I'm not buying every character to the best ability as soon as they come out. So their discrepancy in power is way bigger, but you only have so many people at that level to fight. So I've heard that it gets worse. Like, you end up going against teams that just, like, within like 5 minutes, you're like, yeah, there's no way in hell we're going to beat this alliance. You know, ours are always pretty hard fought. Every once in a while, we'll come up against an alliance where it's just like pretty early on. We're like, yeah, there's no way we're going to beat these guys. Like they're kicking the shit out of us. And it's been an hour, you know, but yeah, man, I like it. Like I said, there's other modes too, where they just become a little outdated. They're starting to make some progress, I think, and going, yeah, this mode's really just kind of a chore and a pain in the ass for most people. So they've talked about like doing like a simulation thing. So it's more theory crafting your team, and then you just hit simulate, and then it just tells you if you won or lost, you know.
Gotcha.
So which is more like, I don't know, I guess it scratches an itch for like bookies. I don't know who that's for, but I'm just I like it because it'll just save me some time in that mode, which at times, like, I like playing that mode some, but after if they have like a new character release that like you're getting shards based on how many battles you win in this mode over a 4-day period, by the end of day two, I'm like, I don't want to fight any more goddamn fights. You know, like I'm just done with this. Like I'm so tired of just going through every 2 hours. It's a 2-hour cooldown without paying like in-game currency to reuse your team, you know, mm-hmm. and your teams, I should say. So those fights are like every 5-person team that you have, essentially, you can use. You know, you can just keep putting 5 people together and going in. And currently, I'm trying to look. Right now, currently, there's 152 characters in the game. With 152 characters, you know, obviously, you can have 30 squads. And basically, every 2 hours, you're trying to fight 30 fights within 2 hours before it resets, which, if you're fighting the entire fight, they take just long enough that it can be this weird, endless, like, purgatorious cycle where I finish my 30th fight and then my first team the 2 hours is up and it's ready to go again, you know? Oh. So that's where I'm like, in that mode, they're kind of going, yeah, maybe we'll do simulations so you don't have to just constantly fight for 4 days to do this. So I'm happy about stuff like that. At a certain point, you know, part of me is going, well, if you're having to simulate part of the game because it's hated, maybe it's a part of the game that should go away, you know?
Right.
But I don't know. Anyway, I've spit a ton of info. What do you think, man? Anything you'd ever be interested in checking out?
I think I might check it out, but it sounds pretty boring to me. I definitely couldn't commit that much time to it. That's just like my thing about mobile games is like I enjoy them because I can just play them casually.
Right, right.
So if I just pop in for 10 minutes or something like that, that's enough for me.
Yeah, like 10 minutes, like when you're in line for something or like.
Sure, or commercials or something like that on television. Or
right, right. You subscribe to the Quibi model of mobile gaming.
I do. A model that's worked out well.
Quibi's killing it, right?
They sure are.
You got extra money to invest? Send it to me and I'll invest it in Quibi for you. Oh man. Yeah, and like I said, for me a lot of it is because it's comic book characters. So like for you, would it be something you might be interested in if it was like Doctor Who related, something that you're really into?
Maybe. Yeah. That might work. The only thing I think that would be difficult because unless they just went and added all of the companions throughout the series to use as your team, then you would have to be using a team of bad guys too, and that isn't something that I think would be realistic for a Doctor Who scenario.
Right, right. Well, and that so they do that in here. It's a mix of good guys and bad guys, and the reason how they get around it basically is the story, which yeah, I didn't really get to the story. The story is that there's a guy named Ultimus who's a big bad in the universe. He's an Eternal, much like Thanos and the upcoming Eternals and things like that. But he has started going like between dimensions from one dimension to the next. I tried to say dimension to dimension, and that's hard to say. But he's mentally enslaving the heroes and villains of all of those to then just continue his conquest across the multiverse, you know? So basically, you use a mix of good guys and bad guys because the bad guys are realizing, like, Yeah, like, yeah, we want to rob banks or we want to take over countries or whatever their ultimate goal is, but we can't if the entire world belongs to this guy. So we're going to have to make this uneasy truce with the heroes to do this. And it also, I like that thought because it also explains why you're fighting counterparts, you know, why the heroes are fighting each other and sometimes themselves. And sometimes, you know, if you're in like a game mode where like a raid, you're fighting multiple versions of Doctor Strange or multiple clones of him. It's because they're all just from different dimensions that have already been enslaved. And sure. So I'm like, that's kind of cool. So I could see Doctor Who doing something like that, maybe. Like, yeah. You might have Rose and the Fourth Doctor and two different kinds of Daleks on your team, but it's because they're against a greater evil, you know?
Sure.
And so, yeah, I mean, I think it could be done. I think it could be pretty interesting, too, because I think then you could do something where obviously the doctors are a little bit more powerful than everybody else, but it might be where you start out where you can get one or two of them, but then after that, you're sort of having to unlock the rest because you're having to visit them in a different time, you know, and grab them to join your team or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, that I think it could be kind of
cool.
I
suppose you could. That you could work it out like that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that this model lends itself to a lot of storytelling, as long as you can come up with at least a halfway plausible backstory as to why everybody's fighting on the same side against themselves on the other side,
mm-hmm.
Which could be kind of cool. But yeah, I don't know, man. I like it. Like I said, I probably spend more time than I need to with it. Part of that comes down to the cost versus time thing. Like, if I wasn't a cheapskate and I was willing to just pay like the perfect example is after Colossus had been in the game for a long time and they had made him farmable. Like, so, you know, on a certain node, you get a chance for his shards to drop to continue to max him out. Cause there's like different star levels. And so, you know, it starts out like the first couple take like, you know, 10 stars, get 10 shards, unlock star one and let you unlock the character all the way up to then the seventh star takes like 300 shards. And anyway, long story short, I had been farming him for a while because he's my favorite character, my favorite comic book character. And I was within about 40 shards of getting him maxed out. And he had been out long enough that they put an offer out for like a holiday or something. And it was like, get 50 shards of his for a dollar. And I was like, fuck you. I'm not giving you a dollar. And so I continued to just grind him for every day when I had campaign energy for a couple more months until I maxed him out. Because Jesus. I'm completely free to play. Like, I don't want to pay for anything, but it's because I'm a cheapskate, you know? and I hear people, I've heard the argument, like, well, is your time worth that much money? And I'm like, yeah, but it's something I enjoy. Like, if it was just a chore where I didn't enjoy it at all, like it felt like a job, then I probably wouldn't play the game. You know, I certainly wouldn't pay money to just keep playing a game, you know, so, that I hate. Sure. So, yeah. But anyway. Anyway, I think that's all I've got to say. I would recommend checking it out, especially if you're a Marvel Comics fan. It's fun. I have a buddy that started playing it and he plays it less than I do even. He's even more casual about it than I am. And he's still having fun with it, he said, and enjoying it. Now he's probably as big or bigger of a comic book geek than me. So that might be why, like, he might get that itch scratched faster when he sees that, you know, the B guy is coming to the game. He might be like, oh, although I did tell him when it first happened, we were hanging out and I go, did you see they're adding Swarm to the game? And he goes, I don't understand that. Nobody even likes Swarm in the comics. Like, no, he's like, no comic fan likes him in the comics. Why is he coming to this game? I was like, yeah, I'm with you. So anyway, man, I think that's I probably have exhausted, talking about this.
Cool.
Right on.
Grading the Nerd was recorded and produced by Zach Boyd and Tim Witham in Dayton, Ohio. If you liked our show, subscribe, rate, share, and review on Apple Podcasts or other platforms. For questions, comments, or ideas, drop us an email at gradingthenerdpodcast@gmail.com. As always, Anchor members can send us a voicemail. Our theme music was composed by Kevin MacLeod. You can find all of his credits and links in our show notes. Come back for more, and we'll see you next time on Grading the Nerd.